When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. Today, St. Luke carefully chooses his words. In his gospel, just like Matthew and Mark, Luke gives only one account of Jesus going to Jerusalem. You see, in his earthly life, though, Jesus would have made many pilgrimages to the temple on countless occasions for the Jewish feasts and festivals, because the Jews were required at least once a year to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But St. Luke wants to highlight this one journey in particular. This journey is unique. It is different from the others. What is so different about this journey, though? What makes this journey so unique? Well, this journey would be when he would be taken up. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus, knowing what is to come, knowing he is to be taken up, that is, knowing that what awaits him is the rejection of the people and their leaders and the brutal torture of the Roman guards, knowing that what was considered the worst form of execution, being crucified, that awaits him. But he resolutely determines to go to Jerusalem, where death awaits him. I will follow you wherever you go. The drama of this moment in salvation history has come to the moment of decision where our Lord sets his sight on his final mission. It has begun. He sets his face towards Jerusalem. His heart bursting with love is fixed on bringing about the salvation of the world. He journeys to Jerusalem. I will follow you wherever you go. This drama, this journey of Jesus toward Jerusalem includes three encounters with individuals who want to be disciples. And in these three potential disciples, I think we can encounter three fears or temptations that we ourselves can face and that can hinder our relationship with Jesus, being a disciple of him, following him. We encounter our first potential disciple who wishes to follow Jesus and says to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answers him saying, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And so using this language, Jesus in a very Jewish way is saying, all of creation has a place to rest. But the King, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lord of creation himself, he does not have a place to rest his head. In other words, Jesus is saying, to follow me, you should not expect comfortability. And if we expect comfortability in discipleship, we are being fooled. Because we are not made for comfort. We are made for greatness. That is, we are made for love, by love, to love. And with love comes suffering. Because we draw that which we love close to us. And in a sense, it becomes a part of us. The husband or wife who experiences the death of a loved one that they've been married to for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, they will share with you the sufferings of losing someone they love so deeply. And if someone tells you about someone that they know that is sick, it really doesn't affect you much. But when someone who is close to you, that you love very deeply, says to you that they are very sick, or maybe they only have so much time left here on this earth, how much greater the suffering? There is not love without suffering. Love is not meant to be comfortable. Discipleship is not easy. I will follow you wherever you go. We then encounter our second potential disciple, and he is called by Christ to follow him, but he answers with this: "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus responds, "Let the dead bury their dead." Now, at first, this may seem a very harsh statement of Jesus. And to his Jewish audience, this is literally an utterly shocking statement. Why? Because the fourth commandment, that is the first commandment after all three dealing with our relationship with God, the fourth commandment is to honor your father and mother. And to add even more weight to his statement, in the Jewish culture, to bury someone is a very profound way to honor them. So now, is Jesus abolishing the fourth commandment? No. He honored his earthly father and mother. Is he diminishing the role of the honor that is played in burying someone? No, because he himself was buried. But Jesus uses this hyperbole, this exaggeration, to let the dead bury their dead, to highlight that discipleship is not one priority among many. It is the priority. It doesn't share first place with other things. Discipleship is first. God is first. I will follow you wherever you go. And lastly, we encounter the third potential disciple. Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." Jesus responds, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Our Lord's answer clues us in to what he's addressing to this person's plea to go back to his family. Let me ask you this. If you are plowing a field, right? Imagine that. Do you look behind you? Well, no. You look ahead of you to see where you're plowing. Because if you look behind, it'll all be crooked, right? You look ahead. And so Jesus is using these strong words and is calling for a discipleship that is urgent and decisive. Elisha, who is plowing in our first reading, as we heard, he's given permission from Elijah to go back to his family before he follows him. But with the new Elijah, Jesus, something is different. He demands, and rightly so, because he is God himself among us, he calls for something greater than the prophet Elijah. That is, being a disciple of Christ means remaining resolutely determined to follow him no matter what lies ahead. And not making the excuse that I'll be a disciple tomorrow or later. Maybe using the image of the words of St. Paul to elaborate, we take off the old man, we leave the old man behind, and we put on the new man, the new self, and we don't look back. I will follow you wherever you go. And so, where do we find ourselves in our discipleship? Right now, today, where do we find ourselves in our relationship with the Lord? Are we afraid of suffering? Are we expecting the Christian life to be easy and comfortable? Are we afraid of what Christ may ask of us if we fully give ourselves? Or is the Christian life just one of our many hobbies, something we do here and there? Is our relationship with Christ our number one priority? Does it come first before all relationships, family, parents, and even our spouse? For how can we love if we do not know he who is love? Or do we lack a sense of urgency in progressing in our spiritual lives? Does today matter in our relationship with God? Because discipleship isn't just for tomorrow. Or do we turn our discipleship on and off when it's convenient, or when we need God, or when we want to have relationship with God? Is our discipleship decisive? I will follow you wherever you go. My brothers and sisters, these are questions that we can ask ourselves this coming week in our time of reflection and prayer. But I also have to say that discipleship isn't about doom and gloom, misery, drudgery. It's about joy. Because true discipleship is about being able to say the words with our lives, "You are my inheritance, O Lord." And discipleship is, in a sense, a way of us singing out to the Lord in complete trust and hope the words that were just sung so beautifully to us in the song. "My heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You will show me the path to life, the fullness of joys in your presence, the delight at your right hand forever. For when we follow Jesus unreservedly and stand at his right hand, so to speak, we will be shown the path to life and the fullness of joys. I will follow you wherever you go. And so Jesus is calling us away from those temptations and fears that we encounter with those potential disciples we heard in the gospel. Because he wants to bring us to the fullness of joy in this life and in the life to come. And so, let us be willing to surrender to the reality that discipleship is not always easy and comfortable. Let us be willing to acknowledge and confess that discipleship takes first priority in our lives above all other things. Let us be willing to remain resolutely determined to follow Jesus, even if just Jerusalem lies ahead. And let us pray for the grace to experience the joy of discipleship. And when we receive our Lord today and see him lifted up in the most holy Eucharist today at Mass, let us say and mean these words: Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.